Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
So we're talking about self-control today, and that is reigning in life. When you understand your righteousness, you begin to reign in life. And the Bible says the kingdom of God, kingdom means the king is ruling, Jesus is ruling. The kingdom of God is, in Romans 14, 17, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness is always where righteousness is and understood, it produces peace. Always. Peace is the fruit of righteousness. I want us to go to John chapter 16, verse 33. And we're going to talk about this. This is significant. If truth leads us to freedom, what's a lie do? A lie leads us to bondage. Jesus says, he's telling us here, I need to make a distinction here. Because he was speaking to religious people. And he was trying to help them understand what's going on. And he's trying to help us understand. We need to get the revelation here. Now, look what he says. These things I have spoken to you. If you have a relationship with Jesus, he's speaking to you. You see this? He's always speaking to you. He says in Matthew 11, 28, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. You see, when you listen to his words and you hear and you're in your righteousness, your soul is going to rest. Now pay attention. Your soul is going to rest. Your soul is going to rest. Why? Because you're learning of him. He says, learn of me, not about me. Too many people are trying to learn about Jesus, and they're not learning of him and from him. You see, when you spend time with him, you now learn of him and you learn from him. And he speaks to you through his word. Are you catching this? And what happens is your soul begins to rest. You see, when your soul is fatigued and your mind is fatigued and your body is fatigued, it's because your soul is fatigued. It's not resting. You feel exhausted all the time. It's because your soul's not resting. If you feel exhausted all the time, that's the reason. You get with him and you'll begin to experience rest in your soul. And it will affect your body. It will affect your mind. It will affect you. Am I making sense? So he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Now look, in the world you will have what? Tribulation. What's tribulation? Trouble. Trouble. Jesus is bringing the distinction. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Anybody have any trouble? It's out there, right? Now look. In this world, you will have tribulation. But here's the solution. But be of good cheer. Joy. Kingdom. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what he's trying to show you, how to be an overcomer. And reign in life, when you listen to his words and you listen to what he says, it's going to produce peace and it's going to produce joy in your life in the midst of all the trouble. Now pay attention. I can be blessed by people in this world and vulnerable to their weaknesses. Make sense? Because people are imperfect. Relationships can infect me. Did you hear that? Relationships can infect me. You are going to have tribulation. Listen, trouble. Remember, that's what it means, trouble. You are going to have tribulation because you are going to be the victim of somebody else's dysfunction. That's going to bring trouble in your life at times. You are going to deal with insecure and emotionally unhealthy bosses, people in charge over your life, supervisors. I used to have a supervisor when I worked for Miles Laboratories. His wife used to beat him while he was asleep. He'd come to work with black eyes. And then he'd come and try to tell me how to do everything and really get on me. And I had to submit to him. And I did. And I learned how to love him. Jesus taught me. You are going to deal with competitive siblings, people in your family. Well, not in our family. You know, we're all... Oh, yeah. It's in your family. Jesus only used the word division one time, talking about family. You got to watch your family. Not everybody's on the same page with you and Jesus. Now watch. You are going to deal with competitive siblings. You are going to deal with territorial, hypersensitive church people. That's never happened here, but oh, yes, it has. It's all good, though. But that can bring trouble. Now pay attention. In this world, you will have tribulation because you are dealing with imperfect people. You will also have tribulation because you are imperfect. Listen, we will at times make wrong decisions, and that will infect a season in our lives. Because of our being imperfect and making wrong decisions, I will have to live through troublesome seasons and tribulations because of the decisions I've made. Can anybody relate to that? And that's a reality. When you understand that, you're going to get closer to Jesus. You're going to want to be around him more. Am I making sense? But you see, this is where, when trouble comes, people want to run from trouble. They want to flee from trouble. Now think about this. You listening? This is in Romans 5, 1 through 5. The Bible says this. We glory in tribulations. What's that mean? We glory in tribulations. The word glory means what God originated and intended. What God originated and intended comes out through trouble, through tribulations. We glory in tribulations. Listen, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is being poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You see, the trouble has come to develop something in you, to bring out the original, to bring out what God created you to be. That's what the trouble's for. It can't come out of you without the trouble. So that's what he's doing. He's trying to show you something about you with the trouble. And what happens is when you respond in a healthy way, you get to what he's trying to show you. That's what the love of God's doing, is being poured out in your heart. He's showing you. And then you say, oh, it was worth all the trouble because I got the love of God in that area of my life now. And I'm beginning to prosper. I'm beginning to excel and grow and mature and become the real me that he created me to be. Are you getting that? It only happens through the trouble. But you see, the development takes place. But here's what people do. They run from the development. Well, I'm going to go to another church. You know, this church is too much. Well, you go with your bad self. How's that working out for you? And nothing ever changes. See, God is always trying to show you. And he's trying to help you. Because he wants to show you the you you haven't met yet. And show you the highest version of who you are. And that comes through trouble. We all right? Now look, here's what happens. Jesus wants you and I to be settled in reality. Truth is reality. See that? Truth is reality. Now look, when life happens, one of the number one reasons people defect from the faith is because they were not properly informed. You know, I had a cousin talking to me on our vacation, how they got hurt in a church and it's affected them on their journey. And it's really because of the hellfire brimstone type preaching and it's left a major trauma and wound. Because see, they were misinformed. But when you're properly informed, it helps you to see things differently. Now listen, because they were not properly informed. So when life knocks on the door, people get upset with God when trouble comes. Listen, they get upset with God because they had an expectation of him that was based on misinformation. It was based on misinformation. And they get mad at God and say, I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe this is happening to my family. And they walk away from the faith. And they are mad at God for not keeping promises he never made. And here's what happens. You become cynical. What's cynical? Cynical is an attitude. Critical. Jaded. Scornful. Aren't those some words? That's what cynicism is. See, when you become critical and scornful and cynical, that's what it means. It means motives of the virtue of others, bitterly mocking and sneering and being scornful towards others. That's the way you see things. When you're cynical, it blinds you to reality, to what's really going on. Are you hearing me? It blinds you to what's really going on. Cynicism infects your sight. Cynicism and Christianity is an oxymoron. We should never be cynical. We should always see the best in others. Love sees the best. We should always see the best in people. Now look. Oh, get a hold of this, what I'm getting ready to say. You can't see right when you're cynical. The cynicism in us would only allow us to see interference, adversity, and disruption. Did you catch that? Now this next line, you got to really pay attention. You got a pen, you need to write this down. Watch this. Because cynicism affects your sight, and it won't let you see past the inconvenience. You see that? It won't let you see past the trouble. It won't let you see past the difficult place you're going through. You see that? That's not healthy. That's why Paul said, we don't look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For our light afflictions are but for a moment. They're only a moment. Gone. Our little difficulties, our light afflictions are but for a moment, and they are working for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight in glory of what God originated and intended your life to be. That affliction is working on bringing the glory out of you. You see that? A person of gratitude has eyes that allow them to see past the inconvenience and the difficulties and see the opportunity that's in the midst of the affliction and the adversity. You see that? When you're thankful. Thankful and gratitude is a principle from God. When we understand that, we express gratitude and thanks even in the most difficult times. Now watch. Cynics don't walk by faith. Some things people are not accomplishing, not because they can't do it, but because they can't see it. Many people cannot grow and mature because they cannot take advantage of the opportunities that essentially look like adversity, disruption, and affliction. They can't take advantage of it because They're afraid of what it's doing now. You catching this? When all along, it's there to develop you. If you stay in the church and stay connected to Him, you can go through anything. Are you listening to me? And you can become the very thing God put you on this earth to be. Are you getting anything out of this? Now get a hold of this. Realism acknowledges reality, but it does not deny possibilities. It says, this is what it is. Well, this is what we got. We're going to deal with it. This is it, right? This happened, so hey, we're doing it. But that doesn't mean this is what it's always going to be. Did you catch that? That doesn't mean this is what it's always going to be. Because it won't. It's only momentarily. It's temporary. You see that? We're the new creation. We're in this thing for the long haul. Right? We're going to be in the new earth and the new heaven. That's right. So we're not going to let some little temporary hiccup mess us up. Right? Listen. Are you one-eyeing everybody? Has pain in the past infected you with cynicism in your present? Has failure, disappointment, and discouragement in your past infected you with cynicism in your present? That's what the devil does. He wants you to focus on your past because he doesn't want you to be healed, and he doesn't want you to have influence in your assignment and the people God's assigned you to in the future. Someone was just telling me after the service at 9 o'clock, they said, I just got a word from God here. I wish I'd been coming here. I missed coming. I should have been coming here a long time ago. They said, you just showed me something I have never seen, and I see why it happened to me, and now I'm going to be able to help somebody with what? They were going on and on. You know, I said, praise God. But you have to give God the glory. And I have to go on. But I could tell they were elated with what they received. Is this making sense? They haven't been here. They're just coming. And that, does this make sense? I'm just trying to help you see something. I don't want to miss this. When we're thankful, it's not because we feel like being thankful. And when we express gratitude, it's not because we feel like it. Listen. Remember, your feelings are indicators, but they're not dictators. Your feelings are indicators, but not dictators. You don't fight feelings with feelings. You fight feelings with principles. Right? Gratitude is not a feeling. Gratitude is a disciplined response that produces gratefulness. Gratefulness. So what we're attempting to do here is get you to respond to difficulties, disruptions, and afflictions with the discipline of thanksgiving, which will produce gratefulness that will overcome cynicism. You see that? As believers, we are to fight feelings with gratitude, which is a disciplined response. Now listen. And it means you have self-control. It doesn't mean you're mustering this up. I'm going to do this. No. It means it's a response because of your connection with God. Now watch. Gratitude produces the feeling of gratefulness and overcomes the feelings of cynicism. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. You. In Christ Jesus and me. It's God's will for us to be grateful. And that overcomes cynicism. Now listen. This is God's will. Why? Because whenever God tells us to do anything, it's not because he needs us to do it. It's because you need to do it. Did you get that? It's not because he needs you to do it. It's because you need to do it. It protects you. It keeps you sane in the membrane. It keeps you healthy. It keeps you emotionally healthy. You see that? Now listen. Gratitude is not changing your feelings. It's about changing my focus back on God in whatever season or circumstance I'm facing. And that's what it does. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's not a good idea. It's a God idea. It's a God idea. Now listen. Because mature people always have to look at the same situation from a different vantage point. When you're growing and maturing, you begin to see it from a different vantage point. Now watch. Thankfulness recognizes the contributions of God in the past. I look back over my life, I can't do nothing but be thankful. Because I know who I was, and I know who I am, and I know I'm seeing where I'm supposed to be, right? I'm going to be thankful. Are you listening to me today? Thankfulness recognizes the contributions of God in the past and requests an encore. Give God praise and honor. Listen. It reminds you and reinforces the credibility of your God. And when God has credibility in your mind, it makes you secure. It makes you stable. It helps you to trust him. Man, this is good stuff right here. Are you getting this? It makes you stable. You see, this is what happens. But when we will set our minds on him, look what he says. He says in Psalm 91, he says, because you have set your love on me. That's the little word set, S-E-T. It means to restore to a proper position and a stable state. What's the proper position and a stable state? Because you've set your love on me. See that? When you set your love on him, because you've set your love on me, he says, I will set you on high because you have known my name. When you call upon me, I will answer. I will be with you in trouble. I'll be with you in trouble. I'll deliver you and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. You see, when you got that love relationship working with God, and it's real, and you set your love on him, you're stable, and you're satisfied, and he shows you your salvation. You know you are being saved. You know it. Nobody else has to tell you. You know it. And you're satisfied. That word satisfied means to be full and overflowing. You're not looking for anything else. You're content with God. You're satisfied with him. You see that? Because he's meeting your needs. Every need you have is taken care of. He's got it. Are you listening to me? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When you understand your righteousness, you're going to reign in life. You will reign in life. Life won't reign over you. You will reign over it. Here's something you got to take with you. This is before Christ, okay? Before I was born again, 40 some years ago, I would get in a mood. Anybody ever been in a mood? So here's what happens. You see, your emotions will lie to you. Now, who's the liar? John 8, 42 through 44. The devil is a liar. He's not only a liar, he is the lie. And he's the father of it. Every lie, he's given birth to it. He's the father of it. Now listen, he's the liar. So here's what I would do. I would think up scenarios in my head. I'd get into a mood. I'd be in a mood 3, 4, 5 days long, walking around. All this negative dialogue, what this one did to me, what that one didn't do for me, what this one isn't going to do for me. Why is this happening to me? Why this? Why that? You know, all lies. Every one of them. And here's what happens. This happens. This happens to Christians all the time because they don't understand what I'm talking about. Think about this. Now you are manipulating your own life. You're being manipulated by your own life, believing the lies you're bringing up. You're working right with the enemy to keep yourself stuck. Huh? You are doing it. And you know what? You can live your whole life that way. And guess what? See, this is what happens. You come home from work, my dad would come home sometimes in a mood. And I'd want him to pass baseball. Come on, Daddy. You said you'd pass baseball.
No, it's rough today, you know.
You know, I want him to pass. You know? No pass with him. Now I got to go out and throw the ball against the wall. How many times do they want you to do something? Because you're in a mood. Because you don't have control over your emotions. Huh? Now you're putting that on them. And they are making memories. Your children. They're making memories of what's under their roof that will last forever. They're going to come back and know who loves them. Am I making sense? They don't know you love them because you put clothes on their back and you provide a roof over their head. Well, I go to work. Boy, there's a whole lot more to being a father and a husband. You better stay up in this church. Am I making sense? There's a whole lot more. Your children need to see you loving that wife, coming home and giving them grace and mercy and talking about the good things they saw at work today and not all the negativity. You see that? When the negativity, it's your emotions. You're believing a lie. And you're bringing it in your own house. You're destroying your own house. When you know you're righteous, you can come home and say, that boss was a blessing today. I blessed him. I've been praying for him. Sometimes you got to go in the bathroom and act like you've got something going on in the stall there and start praying. You don't even have to do nothing. Just go in there and act like it. But you can pray. I've done that at home. Go and close the door and act like, whoa, I got to pray. Huh? So I can keep things healthy. See, so I can counsel with God. That's why it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. See, that's what you're doing when you're listening to all those lies. You're counseling with ungodly thoughts. That's guiding your life. But you see, when you don't walk with ungodly counsel and you get God's counsel, it makes you emotionally wealthy.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.